listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Live and coming to you from my humble abode in Santa Monica, California, it's The Bob Dean Show. Yay! Where we could give a fuck about your preferred pronoun. Hello, everybody. Thank you, Sam Hessen, for running a couple of... We had some pre-recorded episodes before. We have some issues, personally, here and there, but I'm glad to be back live. Today, our guest is the white Mexican, Mike Sandoval, from Pattaya, Thailand. Yay! Thailand correspondent.
Hey.
Bringing you right in. How you doing, Mike?
Good. How you doing, Bob?
I'm glad. Good. I'm glad to see you. This just popped into my mind, you being an actor and a comedian and a musician. What does this remind you of? If anything, I'll give $100 to the first person in 10 seconds who can tell you what this reminds you of.
Your background. Your background, it reminds me of a mural of Santa Monica Pier or something.
And now, of course, nobody's, people are going to be like, except some smart people. When the Beatles, I know this is back in 1970 or 71, started doing the thing that Paul McCartney was dead, and they were planting clues, remember? Like, you could turn the record backwards, and it would say, turn me on, Deadman, turn me on, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there was an ad in Life magazine, I think it was Life magazine, where if you opened it, he was on the cover, and if you opened it up, there was a car going through his head, and it was a 1971 Mercury Marquis. And see, now I've got a 53 Chevrolet Bel Air going through my head. Am I dead?
And if I play it backwards, does it say Bob's
still with us? Bob is a peephole. Bob is a peephole. Well, who didn't know that? I want to do this real quick, and then what we're going to do is, as usual, talk about you, Michael, because living vicariously through your posts and your radio show and everything, Thailand is treating you well. But first, we want to say, Kathy St. George, I know you're listening and watching today. You can watch us live on the my Facebook page. Today, we're trying to get on my regular page, actor, comic, bartender, brain surgeon, and instead of the Bob Dean Show. But Kathy, we love you and we miss you. We're so sorry about Maybelline and the issues that you're going through with that woman that I want to fly to New York and slap her. You know, Kathy, I'm not going to go into the personal details, but it has to do with properties, you know, and one's in Palm Beach and one's in New York City. And the one in New York City, there's somebody that's giving her a really hard time about it. And I just want to beat the crap out of the other person. But we miss you, Kath. And we'll see you hopefully next episode. All right. And let's see, what else? Before I forget, I have to tell everybody this. In December of 2022, I wrote the rent check to my landlord. I've been in this apartment for 20 years, so it would have been my 18th year. And they didn't get it. I wrote them another check. They didn't get it. Same address I've been sending it to for 18 years. What shows up in the mail just last week, ladies and gentlemen? My rent check.
Return to sender?
Return to sender two and a half years later.
But I got to say, Bob, you're paying your rent by check in the mail?
Well, I went Zelle after this incident, but I'm just saying it shows up 2.5 years later.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
And you know when I said to the postal delivery carrier, who was busy on her headset talking about some biatch, seriously, I said, what do you think about this personally? And she's like, I don't know. Anyway, I hate to see that the U.S. Postal Service is going, whatever. I'm just really disappointed. That's why I need to go to Thailand, right?
I'm surprised that you even got it. But, you know, that reminds me. Oh my goodness, because I haven't talked to you in a while, right? We haven't been on the, you know, I haven't been on the show, and we haven't caught up. It's been a while since we caught up, but in December, I took a trip to Bangkok, and I lost my passport. I lost everything.
And, oh man, how did that happen?
Oh, I don't know if I got pickpocketed or, you know, it was probably probably a pickpocket type thing, because I was really careful with, all my stuff, you know, and everywhere that I went that night where I could have lost it, I backtracked.
Sure.
And it wasn't anywhere. So that kind of led me, like, I couldn't, you know, like, how did I lose it? You know, like, it had
did you leave your purse somewhere, Mike?
No, that's the thing. I always had my little bag with me, you know. There was one time when I did leave it, and that's where I went, and I thought, well, maybe it fell out, but it,
right.
it just wasn't there. So anyway, I had to get it replaced. I had to go to the embassy. I had to go to the embassy in Bangkok, and it was kind of a hassle, but it was actually pretty easy. It's easier than trying to do it in the U.S. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I lost my debit card, right? Which is my lifeline, right? That's my lifeline to my U.S. bank, right? And that's where everything is. So I lost my debit card, and this is my second time losing it here. And
how long does it take to replace?
Well, that's the thing. That's the point. Is as soon as I realized that it was gone, I wasn't getting it back. You know, I called the bank like that same day, but I was still hoping I was going to find everything. So when I realized that it was gone, I called the bank and I told them it was lost, put in a thing for a new one. And by the time I got back home, it was here. It only took.
Wow.
It took like less than 3 days. They told me it was going to take 3 days. But I had to stay in Bangkok like an extra day because I had to go to the embassy. So I was I had to stay in Bangkok. So and do the whole embassy thing. And then by the time I came back here home, when I got home and I was coming in the thing, the what do you call it? The security desk hands me the envelope. And I was like, oh, as my card, my debit card. It came within less than 3 days. I don't know how they did that.
That's very impressive. But it came from the United States?
Yes.
Or they have offices throughout?
No, it came from the U.S. It came from the U.S. because they don't have offices here.
Who do you bank with? Do you mind if I ask?
Chase.
Oh, I have a great Chase story. Tell you.
And they've been really good. I got ahead of the Chase. Okay, Chase is. Anytime I have a problem with Chase, and I'm in Thailand, and I call them, they are great. They're really great, and they get me my debit card within 3 days. I couldn't believe it. So the fact that the U.S. mail lost their thing took you 2 years to get it back is. I don't understand that.
Well. Neither do I. It's a mystery that I guess we'll never know. I told you that when I had an incident years ago with let me tell you my Chase story really quick. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a good one. You know, many of you who are close to me know how much I cry and whine about losing the house in that flood situation. I've gained some new information, a different perspective from some people, old friends. And for those of you in Nashville that think that losing my home had to do with my mismanagement of mortgage and money. Fuck you. Okay. Pardon my language. Fuck you. And if I heard the rumors going around that you know, I didn't pay my mortgage and all that, I could just slap you.
Yeah, because, you fucking bitch.
Yeah. Say hello to Dennis, everyone. Hey, Reggie. Woo-hoo! Yay. Like so say.
Well, I didn't believe it for a second.
Well, now I digress. This has to do with Chase. So I had a Chase account that was like a household account for miscellanea. I opened it up because they were offering $300 if you open it up and you have X amount of money in the bank, which I have that. So this and this, things transpire, blah, blah, blah. And I no longer had need for that account. Well, I'm going to do commerce. So I'm in a blazer and a tie and starch khakis undoubtedly. And I go to the Chase on Santa Monica Boulevard in Santa Monica. And, I sit down and the woman comes out and she's like, Mr. Dean, so nice to see you. And I'm like, hello, blah, blah. And she goes, well, you're here to close your account. I'm so sorry to hear that. And she's talking. She's like, I'm so sorry to hear that. Is there anything we can do to keep your business? And I'm like, no, I just have no need for this account anymore. And she's like, oh, and she's like, clickety, clickety, click, click, click on the keyboard. And she's like, oh, well, you know, like that. And she stands up and she walks away and she comes back and she goes, here's your 68 cents. And she drops these coins in my hand. And I stood up and I buttoned my jacket and I shook it all. I go, thank you very much. And I shook it all the way out the front door. She's like, here's your 68 cents.
Anyway, I mean, did you really have to close it out for 68 cents? I mean,
well, I wanted to close it out.
You couldn't have just left it in there? I mean,
well, we got on that because of this and it's and Jace, but this is, gosh, I don't know, six, seven, 8 years ago, because I was still speaking to Susan Moskowitz, who used to be our cocktail lady. And at any rate, they stopped picking up the mail. There's 9 units telling you you can put mail in the outgoing slot of your thing, and the postal carrier for 100 years picked it up, right? Well, I noticed in our mailbox it was overflowing. I looked, because people, and so I said to the mail carrier, you know, this outgoing mailbox is full. And with an attitude, the guy goes, because we had the same postman for years. Remember how we talked about this before? Growing up, you had the same guy. Your mom brings some ice water on a hot day, this and that. Parents give them a little Christmas tip, you know, and they're loyal. Well, now you never know who's going to be bopping up the driveway with whatever kind of headset or earpieces they're listening to. And so the mail carrier goes, we don't have to pick it up no more. And like, you're kidding, right? So I go down to the main post office on Sawtelle and Pico here for our district. And I'm waiting in line, and there's these three girls behind the counter, and they're talking. And I think it was a Monday morning. And the one girl, she's just like, I hate this job. I have to get up and come to work. And they're bantering like this, right? And I was like, my eyes starting to twitch. Well, it's my turn, and I go up to the window, and the girl that hated her job, she's like, can I help you? And I said, I'd like to speak to the supervisor, please. And she's concerning, and I said, I'd just like to speak to the supervisor, please. And she said, I need to know what it's for. And I go, because they're not picking up the mail in our outgoing box. I'd like to speak to her about that. And she goes, well, they don't have to pick it up anymore. And I go, can I just speak to the supervisor? And the girl goes, she's busy. And I go, you're just dying for me to reach over that counter and slap you so you can collect unemployment for the rest of your life. Well, it's not going to happen. Hold on, everybody. Who could it be?
That's exactly what I do not miss.
Sir, this is Bob Dean speaking, and I'm in the middle of my live podcast broadcast speaking to Michael Sandoval in Pattaya, Thailand.
We have a caller on the line.
Caller, but it's not for what we think. So if it's okay with you, can I call you?
Do you have a request? Do you want to make a request?
And if you'd like to, you can tune in live on my Facebook page, Bob Dean, or you can listen to it on LA Talk Radio. But don't worry, we're not talking about you. All right, buddy, I'll speak to you soon. But everything's good. Bye. I found somebody's wallet.
Let me tell you about that is exactly what I do not miss about the U.S. I'm going to tell you, so much of that type of attitude, that type of mentality, that type of...
Because I love my country and I'm a patriot, but it's just getting, you never know, the attitude and the lackadaisical
I love my country too. We went over that last time, but I love my country. I love the U.S. I'm happy living here right now. I'm not giving up anything. I'm happy living here. I like living in California, and maybe some people like living in Texas. Maybe some people like living in Japan or wherever. I happen to like living in Thailand right now, but I do not miss the daily, just everywhere you go, there's just that attitude. There's just this attitude, and like, it's like you're trying to avoid conflict everywhere you go, because everywhere is conflict. Conflict is just waiting everywhere. It's waiting at every turn. There could be some kind of a conflict there. And here, I'm going to tell you, like, I've been here for 1 year now, and this last year has just been so. It's been a year. And this last year has been so relaxing. And I just, when I think about going back to the U.S. and like maybe for a visit or something, I don't want to do it. I one of my friends here just went to the U.S. took his girlfriend, went back to the U.S. and he was updating his Facebook, and so I was seeing what he was doing, you know, and he was like landed at LAX, and then he went to wherever, and then he flew to New York, and he was taking his girlfriend around the country and showing her the U.S. and I was just like, you know what, I have no desire to do that. I have no desire to go back to the U.S. for any reason at all. I mean, I'd go to visit, but I'd rather have people come visit here. I'd like to visit you, Bob, but I'd rather you come here and experience this than me go back there.
Mr. Olson and I, we talked about it, and the momentum has slowed down a little just because of me getting situated with I'm an actor and a comedian. I'm a podcast host, which means I'm a bartender. And with the new job. So things are finally getting to that point now where I'm starting to sock a little bit of dough away because we want to come for a couple of weeks, you know. And don't worry, we're not. I know I said that, and you start hacking. No, don't worry, we're not going to.
No, you're gonna have a great time. You're not gonna. First of all, you're not gonna want to go home. you're gonna want to stay.
That's what you said. I would never forget that. You said if it weren't for the fact that my daughter was here, I would have not even come back.
Yeah, you know. And
how is she doing?
Oh, she's great. She's great, and I miss her a lot. You know, and that's. The only reason I would go back to LA to the US or to LA would be to visit, see her. But she'll come here, so I don't even need to do that. But what I want to talk about is my new great. Whoops, where is it right here? Mike's Madhouse, my radio show. I got this great opportunity to do radio, to host a radio show, and it's live, and it's internet radio, but it's radio. And right now I'm getting about a thousand listeners, you know, because they log in. So they log in to listen, and we can see exactly how many people are logged in listening during the show. So, but I play music. I pick out the music I want to play because it's like real radio. So we have a license. We have a license to play music. So it's classic rock and crazy talk, you know, because it's me and I don't know what I'm listening.
It's fantastic.
I don't know
I'm
what I'm
going to start sending you requests. So I want to hear more Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to play some Lynyrd Skynyrd for you, Bob. And but I'm having so much fun. I got, you know. So what happened was, you know, when I moved here to Thailand, I don't know if it was you or some other comedian friends of mine, but my friends were inquiring to me, what about comedy? What are you going to do? You're going to go to Thailand. What about comedy? What about comedy?
Dude, you are all over the place.
And my answer was, well, you know, I'm a funny guy, so I'm going to be funny wherever I am. And I don't know, you know, I don't have any plans, but, you know, I'm going to be funny and I'm going to, you know, just do whatever happens. So anyway, so what happened was... What happened was in like October, sometime in October, I started hosting this open mic music night at one of the nightclubs here. Through I met one of the owners and became friends, and then I told him, I said, you know, I'm a comedian from LA. And he's like, well, I'm going to start doing this music night. And I said, hey, well, I'll host it. And he was like, sure. So I started hosting this pretty, you know, it's pretty, you know, ragtag, you know, amateur night.
It's a blast. It's like me doing the show. And thank you, Sam, for everything. Right. It's great. You can do whatever you want.
I started hosting this open mic. And I met a few people and I got led to this improv group here in Pattaya, and like these some funny, you know, comedian guys, retired guys, and they're American, they're from the US, and they're doing improv.
So I've seen things on social media.
So I started doing improv with these guys. And that's how I ended up in Bangkok, and I lost my passport and all of that. I was doing an improv show in Bangkok with this improv group. But then, you know, I kind of had a conflict with one of the guys. And I started doing this radio show because I went on this other radio show at the same station, different show, as a guest. And I was promoting the improv show. And I was like, hey, I'm in this improv show, and you know, I'm from the US. I just got here and I'm in this improv show. And I was talking, and the radio station said, hey, you want to do your own show? You'd be perfect to do your own show. Because they were looking for DJs.
That's how Elvin got started.
So I said, absolutely, I want to do my own show. I want to do my own show. And started doing the show, and so I pick out the music. I pick out the music that I want to play.
Sure, it's great.
And then I pick out everything. I do everything. The guy, I have my engineer Dave that runs the show. He does all the technical stuff. So I just sit there with the microphone. And I get to talk, and you know, like a little Real Don Steele, little Howard Stern, a little whatever, you know, I don't know what it is. It's a lot of mic.
It's you. And I'm serious, Sandoval. This is how Oprah got started. For the people may know, but she went on a class trip. Well, not exactly, but still with a format like this. She went to WVOL, the AM soul station in Nashville, Tennessee. This was probably about 73 or 74 on a high school field trip. And what they were in the little studio, and one of the executives or whoever in the station itself heard her speaking to her friend, and he came up and recognized her voice. And I used to listen to her at night when I was doing my homework on the mighty 147 WVOL. And then she went from there into, you know, being with the WLAC, I believe was a Channel 5 affiliate, where they told her that she was too unattractive and would never go any further than being an anchor person for the look, and then she moved to Chicago, and boom. So you could be the next Oprah.
Well.
And I could be Gayle.
I don't know. put on a few pounds, yeah, maybe.
That's why you went halfway across the world to not do that stuff.
Well, you know.
Do you call yourself retired, Michael?
I'm retired because in Thailand, if you're on a retirement visa, you can't work. So, and they're really, you know, strict about that. So like, you can't really, and I'm not working. This is just a hobby for me. You know, it's just a hobby. I don't get paid, but getting paid doesn't have anything to do with it. Like, you can't do volunteer work. You're not allowed to do volunteer work.
What do you mean? Really?
Yeah. Like picking up trash on the beach. Like, if you're on a retirement visa, you really can't do that. Like, you can't, you know.
You can't pick up trash from the beach. Okay, wait. You can't, because, you know, I volunteer fostering animals. Dennis and I do. And we both read to the blind, not on Braille and just do campus so much anymore. But so you can't do things like that? Like, just giving back to the community? I'm curious, you know.
Well, yeah, you.
They just want you to have fun and lay in the sun.
Yeah, well, if you're retired and you're retired, if you know, they do have work visas. They do have work visas, and you can. There are retired guys here that do own. They can open a business. You can do certain things, you know, within the system. You can do certain things, but if you're on a retirement visa, you cannot work. You cannot. And I've heard that you cannot pick up trash on the beach. Like, there's people that do it, but they do get told, hey, you can't do that. Like, that's, and they're really strict. They don't want they don't want retired guys coming over and taking work from the ties. So even if you were to open a business, you cannot do something that is.
That's good. Their public service system is such that they do keep their beaches clean with private employment or government employment, right?
You know, the beaches are pretty clean compared to like our beaches. Their beaches are pretty clean, but they're not like, you know, it's not, there's some trash laying around. It can always be, you know, cleaned up a little bit, but it's not like, you know, Venice Beach. It's not like Venice Beach or Santa Monica Beach. But,
Heal the bed.
You know, Bob, we just went, you know, my girlfriend and I, we about 3 hours from here to this little place. It's, you know, it's not a real touristy place. It's like a resort, but it's a beach place. It's a beach place where you can go and we got a nice little place by the beach, little hotel, little room, little resort room, $20 a night. $20 a night on the beach.
You think you're going to stay like that for a very long time to come?
I mean, you know, and I was on the beach having dinner on the beach. It was like being in Tahiti or Fiji or.
I see your posts, Mike. I know it's beautiful and you're having a great time. You've been in that.
I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there just going, I can't believe that this is Thailand. You know, it was really mad. I felt like I was in Fiji. The water was so clear. I'd never seen water that clear before. It was amazing. It was like glass. It was like glass. So
it's absolutely beautiful. Anyway, it takes your breath away.
It was really amazing. But to get back to the radio though, I do get to go to a radio station and I get to play music on the internet and people are listening and I get to entertain them and I get to talk about goofy stuff, whatever. And I play music, classic rock music. And I get to pick, the great thing is I get to pick the show. So I get to create the show and I get to sit there and I get to talk about whatever I want to talk about. And it really fulfills that desire to talk into a microphone, the desire to talk into a microphone and entertain people. I mean, we have that bug in us, right? Where we want to do
not
that.
Us.
Especially when we see other people doing it, right? We see other people are doing it. It makes, because there's a lot of bars and a lot of bars here where there's entertainment. There's bands and also individual people with like guitars or just a singer, and they're entertaining the audience, and it's just that, you know, everywhere. You know, there's a million bars and there's hundreds of entertainers.
How many days a week do you broadcast for the Mad Mike?
I do one show a week right
okay.
now.
Okay. So, and that's marvelous. Congrats. And I've listened before and it's great. But what is your normal day like being retired? I mean, you know, what time do you sleep till generally? Because I know right now it's what, 3-4 in the morning?
It's 2:30 in the morning. My typical day is, you know, I wake up probably get out of bed around 9:30, get out of bed, have some coffee, get on. You know what? I'm really addicted to checking the news from the U.S. because of this Trump trial and like whatever happens because I'm ahead of you guys, right? So when I get up in the morning, your day ended. So when I get up in the morning and I log on and I check the news, I'm getting all the news from what just happened that day, your day. Yeah. The fresh news of your day, I'm getting it in the morning, but it's like nighttime for you. So I'm reading the news.
You could give me the racetrack scores and stuff like that. You know, if you're getting them first, doesn't work like that.
I'll text them. So, and then, so I do that for maybe an hour or two. Then I go down to the restaurant here in the complex, and have something to eat. Then maybe go. Well, you know what? It's gotten really hot. Thailand is really, really hot right now. So we don't really do a whole lot during the day because you go outside, it's just too hot.
Well, you know, you're talking humidity as well, right? Like Florida.
I'm talking I'm talking about hot sun and humidity. Yeah, it's been over 100 every day last week.
Right.
100 at least. So during the day,
you have central air in your place, don't you? Got to have that.
Got the air conditioning. They do air conditioning different here, they do things differently here, which is really cool. So they have individual air conditioners for each room.
Yeah, I saw that because we look at the real estate things from apartments in Pattaya, things like that, and they're like the hotel units, right? The motel units that we have here.
Well, yeah,
kind of. You don't only need to use it in the room that you're in.
You use it in the room that you're in. They work really good. It cools down the room really good. And then I use the living room one now, and then I'll turn this one off and go in the bedroom. Turn the bedroom one off. You know, and but so you gotta have that. If you don't have that, you have fans. Because not everybody has air conditioning. So a lot of people have fans. They just blow fans, and you just see people sitting in front of fans all day. But people don't usually go out and do much. Well, we do. The white people. Us white people, we go out. The only people you see out.
Oh, now are white. White.
White people. They're out. They're running. They're jogging. They're riding their bikes. They're strolling in the heat. They're laying in the sun. And all the Thais are like, look at these crazy white people out here in the sun, bathing in the sun, half naked in the sun. They're like, what the hell is it? What is wrong with these white people? Like, what the hell? Seriously, they go, what the hell is wrong with these white people? Because they just don't do that.
When I tell people that we're thinking about making the move at some point, people are like, well, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going to go to the beach every day in my orange Speedo with my little wicker hat and my metal detector.
You're going to fit right in.
You know,
you're going to fit right in.
I can't wait.
You know, yeah. And so then in the evening, we go down and maybe go out somewhere because it's cooler. Once the sun goes down, it's not a whole lot cooler, but it's cooler. You don't have the sun beating on you. We go out, maybe go for a walk, it's a lot like Miami. It's a lot like,
yeah. Now, do you take advantage of the pool in your building? You say you have all the amenities, and you already mentioned a door person security.
For about the first 3 months, I was in the pool a lot. I was in the pool like almost every day. For about the first 3 months, three, four months. And then I started working out in the gym. And then I stopped working out in the gym. I just started walking a lot. So I walk every day. I go for like maybe 4 kilometers. So I do that. And then for a while there, I was going out. We were going out all the time. Going out like maybe 4 nights a week to like my friend's bar and maybe another bar, and you know, I said have drinks and listen to music, you know, whatever. But then, you know, I realized that as cheap as the drinks are, though, you know, I'm still paying, like, it's still, I'm running up a bill, you know. It's like not like in LA, but still doing that four nights a week, you know. It's like, even if I'm only spending, you know, $30 a night, all night, I'm only spending $30, but I'm doing that like 4 nights a week, right? So that's $120, and I'm doing that every week. So I said, you know what? Spending a lot of money.
I know how math works.
You know what?
I'm
like,
considering
I'm
that that's two drinks in LA without tips.
That's like four drinks in LA. Yeah. So I'm like, you know what?
I don't need
to drink that much. So I stopped doing that. I don't really go out that. I go out now and then, but not like I was before. Before I was just like, let's go, you know. But so I cut that out. And the funny thing in here in Thailand, or here, right here where I am, because this is kind of like, this is kind of like the Vegas of Asia. You know, it's kind of like the Vegas of Asia. People are coming from all over.
Are there casinos there?
What's that?
Are there casinos in Pattaya?
No.
Is it Pattaya? No,
they're Pattaya. They're trying to get them, but they're not gonna get them. But there's a lot of Chinese tourists here, a lot of Russian tourists here, a lot of Koreans and Japanese, a lot of Indians.
That's like LA.
It's kind of like Vegas. There's people coming from all over the world. They want to come here and see it. Plus, they're not traveling that far, right? They're not traveling that far to get here. You know, we're traveling. It's 22 hours from the U.S. For them, it's only a couple hours to get here.
Yeah,
from China,
like
from
us wherever. Going to Canada. I want to ask you to see. There's a lot of times I'm changing the subject quickly, but I have to ask because it comes to mind. I know that there's really no need for a car because everybody's on a bike or a scooter or whatever. But do you ever see any American cars over there?
Yeah, well, they have.
This ain't Havana.
You know, there are some American cars over here, but that's really not. Well, let's see, like Chevys. No, I don't think I've seen any Chevys or any, you know, maybe some car guys have some, I'm sure some car guys have them, but not like on the road. You know, it's like the.
Yeah. Toyota, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not familiar with it. I was just wondering if, I mean, yeah, like not even so much the newer ones, because the newer ones are so dismal. Anyway, that's a Chevy. See, I'm going the wrong way. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a Chevy.
But like a right. Ford Escort or something. No, I don't. Not. See, so the thing about Thailand is like a lot of the smaller streets are like really small. So it's really not practical to have a big car here. You know, they want to have a small car, because if you have a big car, you can't navigate the smaller streets. You're gonna have to stay on the bigger streets. You know. So, yeah. Or you're moving slowly down these little streets like a bus. You know, sometimes you get these buses down these little tiny streets, you know, and they take forever to get around, and it causes a big traffic jam. Same thing with big motorcycles. It's really not practical to have a big Harley, because you're trying to get around these little streets and these little twists and turns. It's not practical to have, smaller the better, you know.
Got here. It. Understood. What was my question?
But I mean, do you guys ride a bike? Would you get on a bike and a scooter? You and Dennis, would you get on a scooter and ride around?
Easily, a scooter, yeah. Because, you know, as long, can I do this to everybody?
Well, you know, the thing about
I'm kidding.
No. That's an important thing that you bring up. See, in the U.S. that type of aggression and that type of thing is just normal. But here it's so abnormal. You know what I mean? And that's, and
yeah,
that's,
we get it. It's paradise. Look, we get it. It's paradise.
you know,
but no, man, I think it's marvelous.
You got to come check it out. You got to come check it out. It's really, well, like
I said,
like
I said, we're going to get it together 20, and come over and visit.
$20 a night, you know, I couldn't believe what I have. There's a really nice, like, 5-star hotel, in the city in the central Pattaya. Really nice 5-star hotel. It's like $100 a night. It's like $100 a night. I mean, you can't even get like, you
that's
know,
breakfast. Hotel six. That's breakfast in a hotel in L.A.
Right? I mean, you know, well, it's
like, we and you know, we want to.
I look at some of the resorts, like when we went out of town and we went to this place where I said we went on the beach, and I was looking at some of the hotels and resort places to stay to get a room, and I've really gotten into the Thai economy, where 1,000 baht was seemed like a lot to me, and that's only like $30, or you know, it's like not even 30, you know, it's like $30. And
right.
I canceled my room. I had a room that was about $35, and I canceled it to get the room that I had, because the room that I had was only, it's like 700 baht. So it was like, it was only $20 a night, you know, rather than $35 a night. And it was, but it was, you know.
You can't even fathom it.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, but back to my radio show, man. Listen, everybody out there, listen, everybody, you gotta tune in. You gotta tune in because it's on the internet. You can tune in BKK1radio.com Tuesdays at 1 p.m., which is for you guys, that's going to be Monday nights at 11 p.m. I mean, that's perfect.
Oh, easily.
It's perfect for you. It, you know, whatever you're doing, just stop what you're doing and tune in on your laptop, on your desktop, on your phone, on your device, whatever it is, you can tune in. And if you miss the show, you can go to bkk1radio.com and you can just click on archives and you can listen to my shows. They're in the archives. And
just like you can go to LA Talk Radio and listen to and watch the Bob Dean Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. Absolutely. And you got to do that. You got to take advantage of this technology where all of our stuff is saved and you can go back and you can listen to it and watch it later. You got to take advantage of that. So go back and watch all of Bob's shows and then go back and you can listen to my fantastic radio show, Mike's Madhouse, with classic rock.
And it's crazy talk. Dennis says, contact him. He has them on DVD for resale.
Oh, he's got the bootlegs. He's got the bootlegs.
Here, Dennis wants to say hi, but I don't want anybody to see the rest of the apartment because we're in the middle of construction. Wait, where are you? Oh. There he is. He's going. Reggie, we miss you.
Well, he's buffering. There he goes. All right.
Look at that head. That Fidel Castro looking MF. We yeah, miss you, dude.
So listen, Bob. You got to come out because I met these really funny guys, and this one guy, he's like my best friend. He's like my new best friend here. His name is Sheldon, and he was in the Groundlings when Phil Hartman and Pee Wee Herman, when they were there.
God bless his soul. Mm-hmm. So and Conan, O'Brien,
and Lisa, yeah. And so he's been doing improv for that long, right? Like 40 years or something, 35, 40 years. And he's a really funny guy. And I think he's a really funny guy. And I love hanging out with him. We have a great time talking about comedy and different things like that. And he's really into the improv. And even though I'm not doing the improv anymore, he's still doing it. And I met this other guy. His name is Doug. And Doug is a high school teacher. He taught at San Gabriel. No both kidding. Of these guys... Both of these guys are from L.A. Well, Sheldon is from New York, but he lived in Santa Monica on Ocean Avenue, right there on Wilshire and Ocean Avenue. And then he lived in San Diego, but he lived in Santa Monica for years and years. And this other guy, Doug, my good friend Doug, both of these guys are really funny. They're both, you know, retired. And but Doug was a high school teacher at San Gabriel High, where my mom's family's from. So he's from San Gabriel, and my mom's family is all from San Gabriel. So we totally hit it off right there because they all went to San Gabriel High School. He went to San Gabriel High School, and then he ended up teaching there. And I said, oh, so you're welcome back, Cotter. I go, you're, and he's like, yeah, I'm welcome back, Cotter. So, So I was like, well, what are the sweat hogs like, you know? And but I'll tell you, you know, I got
really a small world.
It is a small world. And this guy, this school teacher, because at one time I wanted to be a school teacher. I thought, you know, you have a really cool teacher in high school or something, and then you kind of want to be that cool teacher, you know. So, but he was like a debate coach and something else. But when he went back to the U.S., his students, like he still knows his students, like some of his students. He keeps in touch. They're grown now. They're grown adults, but they stay in touch with him. And one of them even came here to Thailand and met with him. And I just thought that was really interesting that you could, you know, that be a teacher, a high school teacher, and then, you know, you see your students graduate, you stay in touch with them, and then they get married and grow, have kids, whatever, and you still see them. You still, what an impact you must have on that person's life. And so this guy's he's a good friend of mine, and he's a really funny guy. Jelly. They both do the improv.
So, hold on one second. Hold that thought. Corey, I'm in the middle of my podcast. I'm talking to this is Corey from Corey's Kitchen, ladies and gentlemen, on TikTok. But he's downstairs in the driveway. I'll talk to you in a minute because I have an audition I need you to help me with. Hey, Brittany's back from Australia. Yay. Ladies and gentlemen, we are broadcasting live right now. Brittany is – hold on. Okay, I have an audition that's due Monday. Can you help me out? Thank you. Okay. See, ladies and gentlemen,
we are live.
This is a big old family.
We are live. That's
we are live. And we're live, okay? She came back from Australia. She moved in downstairs. She's our young Corey from Corey. I'm plugging Corey's Kitchen. If you've never watched it, ladies and gentlemen, Corey Getman lives downstairs, and he has a TikTok show that's on, gosh, five nights a week, and it's about keto recipes. And but he does it. He's a very handsome cut young man, so he does it without a shirt on, with a chef's hat and a little black bow tie. And but it's a serious program about the keto diet. And so it's kind of fun to stand out his window and watch him go. But his lovely lady just came back from Australia, so we're happy to have Brittany back too.
Okay. Here,
you know, it's funny too, because when people say, I tell them where I live, and they're like, because I milk Santa Monica for the address, because we're right there with Peaks. And I go, you can walk to where OJ killed Nicole from my place, which I know I've been before. I think it's funny. Oh, that's right. We need to get a laugh track, Sam.
Maybe you should.
Like they did.
Maybe you should do a tour. You could do Bob's OJ tour, and you could Bob's OJ tour.
You know,
tour.
I did do the Ha Ha Club. Mike, I did the Ha Ha Club. A week ago, 2 weeks ago, Thursday.
And oh, yeah, that's great. Right. You had your show.
So good to be back up there.
Right?
What's that?
It feels good to be back up talking into a microphone, right?
Oh, my God. It felt great. It felt great. And, I did mostly new material. You know, I did, Lee Sciarillo, if you're listening, it's time for us to start wrapping this up, Mikey. Lee Sciarillo, I am using your line now, and I do give you credit that I'd welcome a little sexual harassment. Everybody's in Lee's head. She goes, everybody's, you know, going sexual harassment. And Lee's like, I'd welcome a little sexual harassment. So Mikey, we got to start wrapping it up. Sam says,
well,
we need to get you on a scheduled day so we can do the, a scheduled once a month or whatever, or, you know, every 2 months to keep up with what's going on with you and what's going on in Pattaya.
I'm always happy to come on and report. You know, I can do.
Come on,
I can do the bar report for you if you want to know what's happening in the bars here. If you want to know,
well, we still need to hook you up with Sonia's uncle, the girl that I met over here, whose family goes back generations. I want to show you this, guys, real quick. This is because Mike, you're always showing. This is my grandmother and my aunt Catherine Stahl. In San Francisco, who I know is watching today. Hi. She sent me all the records from Ellis Island and that sort of thing. See, when people came in legally. But it's kind of neat. I just wanted to plug, you know, my grandmother, Ruby Bozic. And we got to wrap it up, Sam says.
Are you doing the genealogy
thing? Yeah, I'm glad you're doing good.
Are you doing the genealogy thing?
I've been going to... I'm on, whatchamacallit. I did the 23andMe and it was exactly what my folks said. I'm 50% Serbian and you know, 40% Scott Irish and 10% Welsh or whatever.
50% Rottweiler.
But yeah, so, but I love it. I love it with Rottweiler. They say, they go, oh, you got a new DNA match? And some chick from Russia, I go like, oh, I like the, forget it. Gotta go, Mikey.
Listen, we're going to do another show about genealogy. We'll do a show about genealogy.
What about it?
We'll do a show about it.
Yeah, we should. Oh, we didn't even talk about Lupe. What's her name?
We'll do that, but we'll do a show about your family history. We'll do a thing about family history and how you investigate and how you find out and all about that. I did mine years ago. So I'm interested to know about your family genealogy. So we got to do a show about it.
I need to get on it. All right. Love you, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning into the Bob Dean Show on LA Talk Radio. And thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Bob.
And thank you, audience, for listening. And I love you, man.
Hey,
and whoever that naked woman was that just went to the bathroom, tell her Bob Dean says, hey.
Hey. All right, buddy. Bye. Hey, Mike's Madhouse. It's a madhouse.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, everybody. Mike's Madhouse and the Bob Dean Show. Yay!
Bye. You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.